MojoBreak.com.
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to the MojoBreak.com podcast episode 23. There's only one person I can think about.
Harold Miner?
Was he number 23? That, how did you know I was thinking about that? Baby Jordan?
Baby Jordan.
No, we're talking about Michael Jordan, and we're on this podcast hitting fadeaways, wearing Hitler mustaches. No, I'm just kidding. No Hitler mustaches today. I don't think we could pull it off, but MJ can in the Hanes commercials.
Jordan can do what he wants.
Yeah, that was a pretty bold statement. That's like, I'm Jordan, I'm going to wear a Hitler mustache, I'm going to bring it back.
He's also a good look. I don't. why am I going to let one guy ruin it for everybody?
Well, it didn't catch on as a fashion statement, but he tried. But today's podcast, we're going to talk about recent releases. There's been a lot of stuff that's came out in the last couple weeks, and there's a lot more stuff coming out towards the end of the month as these companies try to get their money on, try to get their bling bling on, you know, line some pockets. We also have an interview after the break with Boomo, busted 50 cases of 2012 Bowman Draft, and we're going to talk about it with them. We're going to
not 50 boxes.
Not 50 boxes, 50 cases.
50 cases.
And if my math is correct, I think that's 50 times 12, so that's 500, that's 600 boxes. I just, off the dome right there.
Hold up.
You getting the calculator out?
Yeah.
On your iPhone 1?
First generation.
iPhone 0.5. But yeah, you busted a lot of Bowman Draft.
That's 14,400 packs.
Wow. Oh, you broke down into packs.
Yeah.
It's knowledge. So if anybody's tired of looking at that product, it's him. You know, I'm sure. We did three cases, and I'm already a little bit tired of looking at the product.
14, we did three cases. What did we do? 24 times 36. We had 800 packs, and we're done.
Yeah, we're out of the game. It's like a hot dog eating contest. We eat three, and we're done.
I love hot dogs.
Hot dogs are pretty good.
Who doesn't love hot dogs?
I'm kind of hungry right now, and it's 8:55 in the morning. Maybe I'll go grab a hot dog. I don't know.
Little bacon wrapped hot dog.
Maybe a Pop-Tart hot dog.
Delicious.
There's been a lot of recent releases. What's been your favorite in the last couple weeks?
Absolute Football.
It's a fun one.
Just coming out of the gate with it. I didn't even have to think about it. Absolute Football, Totally Certified Basketball was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of Absolute, too. We did a fair amount of boxes so far of it, and it's got a great collation, lots of multicolor, big rooms, obviously.
Triple Threads Football was really, really, really hit or miss. I mean, you're either going to get a really, really good couple boxes or some really crappy boxes.
Yeah,
really no in between.
It's went up a little bit on the market, but I do agree with you. I think where they missed the mark on that product was the lack of any sort of veteran autos, and if there was, they were just really rare. It just seems so rookie focused. And there's
It's the crazy thing is that the Triple Threads baseball product, there's a fair amount of vets, fair amount of Hall of Famers, legends, and stuff like that. With football, I know it's limited because you don't have tons and tons of guys, but there is you know, Staubach, and there is Bradshaw, and you know, Franco Harris, and I mean, there's a lot of guys who played 80. You got Montana, and you got Young and Rice and all that stuff, and they could throw those guys in the product. But
and I'm not even asking for those. I'm just I would be okay with seeing like a John Taylor, like a guy that's just like a mid-level retired guy.
Yeah, like a Willie Flipper Anderson or like a Cleveland Gary.
Because I'd rather see that than getting another Kendall Wright. Maybe, I mean, Kendall Wright's decent, but rather see that than getting
Michael Agnew.
Michael Agnew's heavy in there. Cyrus Gray. I mean, I'd rather see that. I'd rather get a guy that had a decent career. I'm not talking about Hall of Fame status than a guy that, I don't know. Some may disagree with me by saying the potential of Cyrus Gray may outweigh John Taylor. But
you get a John Taylor card, it's going to be a $30 card.
Right.
Cyrus Gray could blow up. It could be a $100 card.
So, I mean, there is obviously both sides to the argument. One sleeper set that we just we got the call to order it, and me and you both were like, God, it's just too many packs. Prism Basketball is just jumped. I mean, like, literally just ridiculous numbers. Boxes are already up to, like, $100, $120 a box. I don't know if you've seen the sales on some of the non-autoed cards. Insane. Like, what they did is they have this gold, they call it a gold prism, and it's numbered to 10. And let me just bring up some numbers on here. Damian Lillard, which he's obviously a Leaf exclusive, which I have a little bit more about that later in the podcast. Damian Lillard, number 10 of 10, sold for $2,500.
Wow.
Just non-autoed, nothing, just a gold parallel.
You know who's not great at, like, predicting market values on upcoming releases?
Us?
These two guys. Like, we got the pitch on Prism. I called you, you called me, we got pitched on multiple guys, and we're just like, no! No, hell no! Too many packs, no, we're not into that, it's gonna be like hoops.
Not right. Into it. Yeah, we didn't,
and,
yeah.
And it's just like, maybe the product of the year, and we don't have any.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those, we don't have, well, we have one box, and I did one box yesterday, but...
we have classic hockey just everywhere, but
got coming out my pockets.
Got certified hockey everywhere.
I think we're actually done with certified hockey. Well, now. We went heavy on that one.
We went heavy on Prestige. We went heavy on Threads. Which are pretty good products. And Prism, we ordered one box.
We ordered one box. Yeah,
one box.
We just. We're not Nostradamuses over here, I guess. You know, we're horrible Nostradamus persons.
Ordered four cases of draft picks and prospects.
It wasn't too bad, but Kobe Bryant, USA, just USA. He's in his USA jersey. He's gold, $1,100. It's like crazy. Anthony Davis, $1,400. LeBron James, $1,000. And there's no auto, just a card. Now, a number to 10 from Prestige Football, 50 cents. What's the difference? Like, you get any other Panini numbered cards, and we've talked about this in the past. I'm glad that they're bringing some value back to their, you know, gold refractors, or actually, I don't even know if I can say refractor with Panini's name in there. It might be like a binding law. But their numbered cards, like, don't sell. And then now they're doing it. It's crazy.
You know, I mean, maybe it has something to do with the fact that they – had the only license for NBA.
Possibly. And maybe it's an NBA thing, because we've seen Fleer Retro, numbered to 10 cards. I mean, granted, it was Michael Jordan, but it was Michael Jordan in a North Carolina uniform, and it was a precious metal gem, no auto, no jersey, no nothing. Sell for like $3,000. All it is just a numbered piece of cardboard with fancy metal fake thing on it. I mean, like...
I want one.
You want a precious metal gem?
Yes. How much is it worth?
$3,000.
I'll take two.
I'm thinking I can actually propose with that card. Just, yeah, like, you know.
You're always gonna get you. He's gonna get you a ring, girl. But I got you this instead.
Michael Jordan, precious metal gem. You said you wanted a gem. Here's a gem.
James Worthy, precious metal gem.
You got vodka in that coffee this morning, or what?
I'm still sleeping, bro.
But yeah, so props to Panini on that, bringing some value back to everybody's after the auto, the jersey, and you know they're bringing some value to just numbered cards. It's a great thing for the hobby. So props to them, but not props to us for not ordering it.
When are you busting that? Because we haven't actually opened it yet.
Yeah, I opened a box yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Didn't really get any numbered parallels, so they're obviously
and it has the kind of chrome look to it, right?
Yeah, it's a nice looking card. It's basically, that's why I kind of swayed away from it, because it's like, it's their answer to chrome. I'm like, okay, so they're gonna try to copy chrome and it's not gonna look the same.
But one auto or two autos?
Two autos. Yep. And they're both stickers. So they don't, it's not like chrome baseball where it's on card, but it's a well done sticker. It's put in a cool place. I mean, we didn't get any really big name autos. I think we got that.
It's put in a cool place, like not on the back?
Not in the corner of the card. It's put in the refrigerator, a cool place. We got Fab Mello autograph, which I think he's pretty decent for the Celtics. And then I can't remember the other guy. he was that big of a name. I just can't remember who he was, but yeah.
Crazy. And it's not just rookie autos, is it? Do they have any vets or any?
You know, I think it is pretty much a rookie-based product. They do have veteran base cards. I don't know if that can actually pull it up right here. It's been out for a little while, so it's been out since the 28th of last month. I mean, it seems like forever. Obviously, that's only like 2 weeks ago, but there's been about 15 releases after it. Yeah, you get two autographs, two prism cards, and two insert cards. Let's see who the auto checklist is. There is Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, John Starks. So there is some veterans mixed in. It's 100 different autos, and I'd say about 80% of them are rookies. You got World Be Free auto. It's father of Metal World Peace, I think.
Nice.
I don't know. But there was a guy back in the 70s and 80s, World Be Free.
World Be Free.
Kenneth Faree, Gary Payton, the glove. Shoot. He's in there.
So, yeah, going down the list here, we got Longevity Football. Was that just a retail?
Basically a retail.
It's retail?
The distributors sell it, but I mean, I think its mainstay is in like a Target or a Walmart.
And we had WWE, which we did not take on.
No, maybe we'll do that. You know, we'll see.
Prime Cuts Baseball. What do you think about that? That was solid.
It was solid, and what I liked about that set was the fact that basically last year I think the biggest complaint was the prospects. So what they did instead of putting five cards in there, they put two really good cards for about the same price point, and everybody's happy. I think. I mean, there's obviously people that hate Panini, whatever they did.
And they put in like they introduced the USA cards.
They were in, there was a set they were in. I think they were in limited. But yeah, they introduced the autos this time.
Yeah.
Limited with the jumbo patches.
Yeah. Cause there was actually autos. It didn't seem like you were getting one like patch auto, like a five box case.
Five box inner. Yeah.
I mean, even though the one that I opened
didn't have one, did it?
Didn't have one. That was like the first one that I think we've opened, and we didn't pull a USA card.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, that does seem, you're right. I think they are almost coming every five count inner. UFC Bloodlines came out, and it's actually good to see that they got a pretty good amount of buzz. I think the great thing about UFC product, especially that one, is there was a lot of hits. There was like 10 hits in that hobby box. So there was, you know, autos and mat relics and pant relics and jock relics, and I don't know. But it was a pretty good checklist for UFC. Great thing about UFC material is it's almost always multicolor because the guy's shorts has a bunch of sponsors on it. So you get tons of multicolor relics in UFC. But it gained some popularity. Everybody was a buzz about the Friday release for UFC. Are you in UFC?
Am I in UFC?
Are you? Yeah. Have you
seen me?
No. Are you into UFC?
No.
No, not a UFC guy?
I'm old school, man. Boxing guy.
The old gloves, huh?
The old gloves.
Only use your fists, huh?
Yep. That's how you settle an argument right there.
You still play 8-bit Nintendo too, as opposed to Xbox?
Dude, 8-bit Nintendo is great. Well, Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, Excitebike.
Well, that's what I compare UFC, and I'm not a boxing hater, but I compare boxing to UFC is, boxing is 8-bit Nintendo. You got two buttons. You can do two things. Xbox, possibilities are endless. I mean, you can go on Netflix. You know, I mean, there's just
I think we've had this argument before on a podcast.
Well,
I think we're doing it again.
Are we? My podcast three, so I can rehash it.
My issue is that if you lose in a boxing match, you're done. Your career is over.
It's almost the same with UFC.
No, UFC, guys are like 8 losses, 10 losses, 12 losses. They fight all the time. Like, it's not an event when they fight.
Yeah, they fight like twice a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's not a lot.
And there's like, there used to be, what was it, like Strikeforce, and then there's like UFC, and then there was like some other one, MMA. Like, wasn't there like another? It's like hard to keep track.
Yeah, there's well, UFC is the biggest one, but then there's some subsidiaries where guys get, it's kind of like the minor leagues of UFC. The guy's ultimate dream is to go to UFC.
But what there was one called Strikeforce, right?
Yeah, and they got bought out by UFC.
And wasn't there one like called MMA?
No, that's just the name. Or
I thought there was like another, I don't know, like a league.
There's midget wrestling.
No, there's like another. What was the one where, what's his name? The big dude who is like a street fighter. Kimbo Slice.
That was Strikeforce, but they got bought out, so they pretty much moved all their fighters to UFC.
So there is really only UFC now?
There's like littler ones that come around, but that's pretty much it.
Like what about what's on FX?
What's like UFC? There's like King of the Ring. There's like these little ones that the guys probably make, you know, they get some popcorn and a hot dog for fighting or something, but you know, that's about it. And then they just dream of making it up to UFC.
It's too many different weight class. It's confusing.
It is. Panini Limited baseball, Panini Limited basketball came out actually last week, and we've only done three boxes of it so far, but I actually thought they had one of the best innovations. They took kind of the best ideas of the last couple of years. You got acetate and die cut and then on card, and they made one card out of it. It was like putting my mind in a bottle.
That's what they did.
It's like they listened to all of our suggestions on cards, and they just made this crazy funky die cut acetate on card trophy card of rookies.
You gotta be aware though. I mean, we were flipping through those boxes, and I mean, you almost went right over it.
It's like an invisible refractor.
Yeah, you have no idea. You're like, whoa, what's this?
Like an invisible man auto. Can't even see it. Next step, jersey acetate die cut multicolor on card redemption. No, I mean, just a crazy, just put them all in one. Just do it. Just extreme refractor.
Extremo fracture.
just mind blowing. But then this week, big week. I mean, you could definitely tell it's the end of the year. We got Bowman Sterling, absolute basketball, Panini Black football, and then the week's not done. Week's not done. They throw out Strata on Friday, Leaf Inscriptions, Panini Golden Age baseball, Just Miners, Mystery Gamers. And then come next Wednesday, you got Timeless Treasures basketball, Crown Royale football, Limited hockey, Limited football, Panini Winter Classic hockey, all just boom in your face.
I think you forgot Golden Age baseball.
No, I said that. I said it real quick. Just breeze right over that one.
Well, it's fun to talk about it, but we're not going to breeze right over it. it's a 3-hour break.
Well, I think it's going to actually be this time. Next year, when we finally get rid of the last box of it.
Yeah.
Age baseball. But it, who knows, you know?
No, well, I mean, it could be amazing. I think you're kind of going to think, you're thinking it's going to be kind of like Cooperstown.
Well, I'm just looking at it at a break standpoint where there's going to be some weird, funky actor autographs in it and stuff, which is probably cool for people that buy boxes.
This is kind of Panini's answer to ANG.
Yeah, they've done some weird, they got minis in there. There's actually a Honus Wagner reprint. Now, I don't know who made the original Honus Wagner. Obviously, I was almost thinking that Topps had that card under license, but I guess not. The $14 million Honus Wagner or whatever money amount. There's like a reprint of it in there.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And somebody had the gall to ask on Panini's Knight's Lance if it was like a buyback. Yeah, they just totally bought that one, put in the set. Just boxes are only going to be $5,000 a box now. Hopefully,
either that or that's gonna hurt margin a little bit.
Yeah, hope to break even. But that's been it. Catching you up on all the releases. I mean, we've done them all except for the longevity and the bloodlines, just because we don't do MMA, which we may do eventually. We're probably gonna have to do it.
Yeah, we didn't really do Prism.
We did the one box, yeah. I mean, we didn't do a case break of that, but yeah. And speaking of Chrome, we were talking about prisms, we were talking about Chrome. Did you hear how much money? This is courtesy of CardboardConnection.com and Paul Lesko, but did you hear how much money Topps makes from Chrome?
Yeah, I actually read this article a couple days ago.
Between March 2007 and the end of 2011, they've sold 42 million packs of Chrome-branded baseball, football, and basketball, earning gross sale revenues of more than $63 million.
It's just on Chrome.
That's not even $2 a pack that they make. But 42 million packs times divided, you know, 63 million divided by 42 million. My calculator doesn't go that many. I can't fit that many zeros, but let me see if I can do that. I want to actually see what the
I don't think you need to add all the zeros to get the right number. Just saying.
I think you need to. Come on, man. Product of public school, dude. You mean I could take a few zeros out of both one and probably get the same number?
Yes.
Well, I came out with 15 cents. I don't think that's right.
All right. Hold.
Just people who just already have the number in their head. They're like, these guys are just morons.
I get like $1.50 a pack.
$1.50? So yeah. That's how much they profit. So how many packs? $1.50 times 18. So they make about $27 a box. All right. That sounds about right. Because then the product sells.
So if you are to sell, I can tell you this right now. So if you were to sell a, let's say, throw it out there, Chrome baseball, just any year. What, you'd sell for like $55 a pack or $55 a box?
That's a pretty good margin, $55 a pack. Just raping the kids.
Like $55 to $60 a box.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're basically, well, I don't know what they sell. I mean, we only see the distributor.
We wouldn't make, if we were to buy it from a wholesaler, we wouldn't be able to make $27 a box.
Yeah, their margin's about almost close to.
It's like 35 points.
Yeah. So that's it's making money.
That's where all the money's going.
Maybe we should just start a card company.
Maybe.
A little bit of silence there.
A lot of logistics to go into that.
Why don't we just not even get licenses and just have people sign? We can use MLB logos and everything. Just go
for it and see how long you can do it before you get sued.
Yeah, we'll just sell it real fast.
And we'll just say that we didn't know.
We'll just number everything 101.
I didn't know.
And I'll hit eBay, and it'll just be great success.
I thought it was just, you know.
I thought this America was free.
I thought it was a free-for-all. I thought I can use it whatever I want.
Yeah, you know, well, who needs an MLB license? I took this photo myself. Why do I have to airbrush the logos? Doesn't make any sense to me.
There you go. Just go a bunch of minor league games and just start taking pictures with your phone, making cards out of it.
Yeah, with like a 5-megapixel camera, just all blurry. But yeah, it would probably get stopped in court real fast, you know. So one can only dream. Have you heard Leaf obviously signed one of the biggest rookies this year? What are your thoughts on Leaf getting Damian Lillard?
Good for Leaf. I don't know why he would sign an exclusive deal with Leaf when he. I mean, but you can't show him in his jersey. You can't show with any logo, right?
Right.
Team Under Armour.
Well, it looks in the photo they showed here. I don't know. It could be a college picture of him, but it's
obviously, like. He looked at both numbers. I mean, Leaf was going to offer him a price, and Panini was going to offer him a price, and obviously they were not that close. So he's like, I'm going to go with the more money.
Right, and that's what I think Ryan Gray said, that he didn't feel like the other manufacturer, which I can only assume would be Panini. You know, Brian Gray's politically correct, so he's not going to throw anybody's name out there. But
oh, I just did.
You did.
And you did.
Yeah, freedom of speech.
Well, I mean, come on, it's obvious.
No,
the listeners need to know. Got to know the truth.
We're the truth.
Got to know the truth.
Yeah, he said that he offered him, you know, just more money. than Panini could offer. Obviously, he could have probably gotten deals from both companies, but if he signed it exclusively, he probably got that much more money. So,
yeah. Yeah.
What do you think these guys, you know, that's a good question. I mean, that we'll never probably ever find out. What do you think these guys get paid for a contract to sign cards?
I think it depends on where you get drafted and what your marketability is.
Yeah.
You know, let's say a first pick NBA draft. $15,000-$20,000 a year, probably.
That seems low. But dude, I don't know. He's just signing cards.
All they're doing is signing cards.
Yeah, I mean it's hard to gauge. I mean, I think
the thing is, I don't know. I think it's somewhere in that. I don't think they can pay him much more than that. I mean, think about it. That would mean like every draft class, they're paying out hundreds of thousands of dollars for these guys to sign. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and what do you think about guys like Eric Sercamp? How much does it cost to get an Eric Sercamp auto? Like how much he signed a bunch of Topps Chrome 2012 this year.
Like $1,500
for, yeah, that's kind of generous. Maybe a couple hot dogs, a couple maple bats.
I don't know. The baseball guys, it has to be really low.
Well,
because there is so many of those guys. I mean, every level of the minor leagues.
Well, you think about a set like Elite Baseball, that's probably like the cheapest set to acquire for Panini because you got guys that are 30th rounders. And
A lot of those guys probably get paid. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny either. Like, like $50, $100.
Steak dinner.
No, I'm serious. I mean, they probably like literally give these guys $100 and say, "Hey, you're lucky. We're making a baseball card of you."
Consider yourself lucky to sign 5 million cards.
Exactly.
Branding yourself. But yeah, I would love to talk to, and they probably won't give up that information, and rightfully so. That's like us discussing, you know, how much money we make on breaks and which isn't much, but you know, just. It's, you know, stuff you don't talk about, but it would be interesting. Like,
don't talk about it.
I'm gonna edit this out.
Don't talk about it.
But it would, like, and then like Hank Aaron, like obviously he just signed 5-star, so there must have been some kind of contract every year that he signed. You know, he's like agrees to sign. So usual, these guys that are retired, these Hall of Fame guys, so there's got to be a price on them too. So you know, I don't know. Obviously, I don't think Hank Aaron signed like a 50-year contract with Topps.
No, it's probably a yearly deal. It's an annual deal.
Yeah.
It was like 2 years ago that Topps was making a big deal with promotions that they came to a deal with Koufax.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was like, and then they threw Koufax in every product.
Yeah, and I don't think he was in any other product. I just don't think he signed much.
Yeah, he did, and so they basically signed him to a deal. He probably got maybe 20,000.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to figure. I mean, what are you really doing to earn this money? I mean, you're having them ship you cards or stickers. You're signing your name about 500,000 times, and you're shipping them back. I mean, yeah. does that really justify you need to give me $2.8 million for doing this?
But you, on the flip side of that, you look at the prices of these guys when you go to a convention and you get like a photo signed, and some of them are $60 to $80 per autograph. I mean, obviously they get the bulk discount.
And some of them are like $40.
Right.
Like, or some of them are probably $15. You want a Kirk Manwaring auto?
I might pay $25 for that.
Should negotiate when you go up there. He's all it's gonna for an 8x10, it's gonna be $12. You're all, well, how about 8?
Well, you know, and then there's some guys that entirely sign too often. I was actually watching, I was eating my lunch, you know.
Are you talking Pete Rose again?
Yes. But this is funny. check this out, right? So Chris Justice, yeah, everybody knows him from YouTube, busting a box of WWE from Leaf. Guess who was in there?
Pete Rose.
Yeah. Like, Like, he's in everything. They're selling $20 blasters with a guaranteed auto of Pete Rose. Like, at what point is the auto just not worth anything because there's just 5 billion of them out there? It's just, like, ridiculous.
Just when I go to Vegas, I swear to God, I'm going to look down the street and just see Pete Rose running after people with a Sharpie.
$5.
I'm coming. I'm going to sign for you. Come here.
$5. Come here. $5. I'll sign 50 different pieces of whatever you have. Your hat.
Come here. Look at me sign. Look at me sign.
Dude, I was like, they could have really done without Pete Rose in a WWE. I mean, they could have like held him out of there, you know, and tried to.
I mean, it is. You know what? It is Pete Rose though.
He's the hit king though. I mean, he could. So if the gambling thing didn't happen,
he could do what? He could.
Well, he can't do anything. I get it, but so if this gambling thing didn't happen, we're talking about maybe Pete Rose on the same level as like a Hank Aaron.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Or like Don Mattingly or something, or somebody that you get, you're like, wow, this is great. Now you get a Pete Rose, and you're like, oh god, I got Pete Rose.
Well,
like,
the thing that sucks is that here's what's gonna happen, Pete Rose. 20, 30, 40 years from now when he passes away, MLB's going to be like, you know what? We got to have the hit king in our Hall of Fame. Let's go ahead and vote him in now. And that's going to be the thing that sucks because they are going to vote him in, but they're going to vote him in after he dies.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have like – and then they're probably going to go to people like Brian Gray, who has a bunch of autos of, you know, Pete Rose. And they're probably going to try to buy those autos from him and put them in their product.
So our grandkids are just going to be getting like cut autos out of like 2055 Topps Triple Threads. This is going to be just buybacks.
No, you're going to it's going to get a cut auto of Pete Rose auto of a WWE product.
Well, he does. I mean, he does have those blasters. I mean, I've seen him at Target, and granted, it's probably one of the better values out of any blaster you could buy.
Yeah, because you're probably getting a Pete Rose auto.
You are. It's guaranteed. It's $20 box with a guaranteed Pete Rose auto.
That's pretty awesome, man.
So, I mean, is Brian Gray making 50% margin on that? So you're telling me that he's pretty much paid Pete Rose $5
Well, per auto. You know what? He probably tells Pete Rose what he's going to pay him. No, I mean, seriously, because...
Like Pete Rose is bunking in his house somewhere?
Well, Pete Rose can't go to Topps and go, hey, let's work out a deal.
Yeah.
Topps would be like, no. And then he'd go to Panini, and Panini's going to be like, yeah, we're not trying to go down that route. Goes to Brian Gray, and Brian Gray's like, I'm the only guy you got.
It's sad. I feel bad talking about Pete like this. It's just
no. I mean, it's you know, business is business, whatever. But like, you know, is he going to go to like ITG or? I mean,
I think he was in ITG actually.
Well, what's his other options?
Yeah, he's not. I think Panini's had him in a few things.
So pretty much, Leaf is dictating the price on Pete Rose.
They're probably paying – he's probably averaging like $1 to $2 per auto.
I mean, he's probably getting a decent amount, but they probably have a contract saying that like if we're going to make – if we're going to basically put out products with your name on it, you're going to be exclusive to us and we're going to get a volume discount.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's probably getting paid – they're probably paying him like $40,000 a year.
Yeah.
But you got to think like – how many products have they been used? I mean, him signing is probably a full-time job at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got carpal tunnel, I'm sure, at this point. Speaking of Leaf, actually, I think it comes out this week, 1990 Leaf Baseball, which I actually remember collecting. It was that.
Oh, with Frank Thomas?
Yeah, with the gray, kind of the gray border. So they're bringing that back, and they're going to bring it back with foil-stamped buybacks. Which is actually a great idea. They're actually going to have
Frank Thomas was in that, and
Sammy Sosa.
I had the Sosa. I didn't have the Thomas.
They haven't announced Sosa being in the set, but there is Frank Thomas. Somebody says it. Like, nobody knows where Sosa is. Like the guy's he's just maybe on a different continent right now or somewhere. Like no one's seen Sosa for a while, so I don't know if he's going to be in the set. But there's definitely Frank Thomas buybacks. There's also sticker autographs using the 1990 design of Pujols, Suzuki, Carlos Correa, the guy that just got drafted, Jorge Soler, Reggie Jackson, Tommy Lasorda, Pedro Martinez, And then there's other signers are Nolan Ryan, Cal Ripken Jr., Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux, Ricky Henderson, Jose Canseco, and Fernando Valenzuela. So those last two, man, I don't know. Those are two guys that Jose's awesome, probably doesn't sell well. And Fernando Valenzuela, I guess, doesn't really sign much. So it's going to be a collectible for Dodger fans.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on the Valenzuela auto.
Come on, man. You're not a big Fernando fan?
Fernando Mania?
Fernando Mania.
I'm going to pass.
The guy was a slim guy. Real slim. Speaking of just weird and crazy stories, have you heard this Charlie Sheen story about the Babe Ruth ball?
No.
All right, check this out. So Charlie Sheen recently had a holiday party, and Zac Efron was there, right? You know who Zac Efron is? A lot of teenage girls like him. He's got the Bieber haircut kind of type thing going on.
Yeah, I know. I think he was on the Disney Channel or something.
Well, he was partying with Sheen, and
that's got to be fun.
And Charlie Sheen's drunken stupor, he gave him a Babe Ruth 1920 autograph ball that he paid $2.6 million for. and then he got up the next morning and he discovered it was gone. And he was like, "Who stole my ball?" And they're like, "You gave it to Zac Efron." And he's like, "No." And so now he's too embarrassed and polite to like call him back and say like, "You know, I just really didn't mean to give you the ball. Like, I was kind of hammered. Like, it just..."
Oh, Zac Efron would give him back the ball.
Yeah, but he's... Well, maybe he will now that the story hit, but supposedly he hasn't gotten it back. The baseball's worth $2.6 million, and I guess it's just a very rare autographed baseball of Babe Ruth.
Wow.
So, yeah, then there's actually a picture, if you scroll down all the way to the bottom of this little podcast thing I put up, go all the way down to the bottom, there's Zac Efron.
With Barry Bonds?
Yep.
That's Barry.
That's Barry, and that was the height of Barry's head, I think. That was coming out of the hat there.
What was that, 2007?
Yeah. It was. So that was like Barry's pretty much last year, right? Maybe. Did he play in 2008?
I don't know. I don't remember. those are the bad years when we weren't winning rings every year.
Yeah. That was before Lindsey and Kane. Actually, I think Lindsey might have.
Lincecum was there. Kane was there, too.
Barry Zito's first year, I think, right?
Yeah, Shotgun was there.
Yeah. Well, before we go to break, I wanted to talk a little NFL with you. Niners look poised to win Super Bowl number 6 after beating the Patriots. But I wanted to get your idea on, you know, we always bring this up, but, you know, rookies, now that we're almost at the end of the season, you know, who's your standout? Who's the guy that you want to start collecting for the price point? Which guys do you like?
Janoris Jenkins.
Janoris Jenkins, a little homer pick there. Guy looks pretty good. Guy looks
good. I mean, but he's a D guy, so I mean, his value can only go up so much. You know, I mean, Doug Martin looks like the real deal.
Yeah.
You got to go with the skilled position players. So, Doug Martin, T. Rich. I know these are the obvious ones. You're probably gonna go a year ago and say swoop up on Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean his value right now. I mean, people are paying a lot of money for him, so it's probably not the best value. I mean, I tried to get one. I actually bought a box of 2011 plates and patches yesterday just to go after it because I don't want to buy it. I actually wound up getting a Blaine Gabbert auto. Which is not Colin Kaepernick.
That's the, you know, a year ago you'd be like, "Man, that was a good one to get." Now it's like, that's the worst one to get. Can I get Jordan Todman?
Yeah, there was actually a blowout card thing that said the worst 5 quarterbacks in the league, and he was pretty much on everybody's list. So yeah, him and Matt Castle, and surprisingly, Christian Ponder and Jake Locker were on the list a lot. I was like,
dude, remember that plates and when it was playbook, we pulled that playbook printing plate book of Colin Kaepernick.
Or was that Kaepernick or was that Hunter?
No, it was Kaepernick.
Oh, that's right. Wow, that's probably a $700 card right now.
Yeah, that was badass.
Do you know who's number 3 in the league in quarterback rating?
Alex Smith.
Yep, 104. It's the highest ranked backup in the league. Aaron Rodgers.
You know who's going to be playing for the Cardinals next year?
Alex Smith. Adrian Peterson, man. I didn't realize how many yards he had. 18-12 for two games to go. So he's definitely flirting with the record. I mean, that guy's...
Well, he ran against 200... He ran for 212 yards against greatness. Who? The Rams.
They played the Texans already?
No, the AP.
You said the greatness, though. I didn't compute the Rams when you said greatness. 6-7 team, I didn't really... 6-7-1, I should say. There's a little asterisk there. But 18... Yeah,
212, I mean, he's trying to beat Dickerson's record, right?
Yeah, I think it was like 21-03, so he's a little under 300 yards. Little like 290-ish
record. 145 a game.
Pretty much. And he's playing the Texans this weekend, though, so that's going to be a little tougher challenge. But they're saying they might give him like 40 carries a game.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're going to do that because the Vikings are still in it.
They are still in it. They have a slim chance.
The Rams are now officially out of it.
And there's two guys flirting with the sack record now. They're both tied at 19.5. Got J.J. Watt and Alden Smith. And actually, Von Miller. So that's three defensive guys from last year's draft class that are all just dominating the league. One of them is probably going to get a defensive player of the year.
And you know what? In products last year, there was a lot of J.J. Watt. There was a lot of Von Miller. But there was not a lot of Alden Smith.
No. I know
he was in contenders, I think.
Von Miller was a rookie premier guy, so that's why you've seen a lot of him. J.J. Watt wasn't, but he seemed like he was.
But yeah, there was a fair amount of J.J. Watt throughout the whole year.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm just looking at the stats here, you know, being that it's two games left. I guess we can officially say that Calvin Johnson did not get hit by the bad nerves.
They looked like it.
At the beginning of the year.
By week four, I was like, oh, man.
He has 1,667 yards, and the second guy is Brandon Marshall at 1,398. So he's got a firm 250-yard lead on – I think he's actually flirting with Jerry Rice's record. So it could be two records that are broken this year, which I don't want to see Jerry Rice's record being broken. But, you know, Megatron is pretty legendary himself. But Doug Martin, fifth ranked in rushing yards, 1,250, as we're talking about rookies. Robert Griffin III has 104 quarterback rating.
How did what's his name do? Ryan Matthews. Did he have a bounce back year? I think he went over 1,000 yards last year.
Let's see.
I think he's flirting with like 1,000 yards again.
707.
Yeah.
3.8 yards a carry.
Probably not going to go to the Pro Bowl, but
he's 23rd on the list. Willis McGahee, Michael Turner, and Robert Griffin III are ahead of him.
It's quarterback.
Quarterback's ahead of him. Yeah. So leaders are Adrian Peterson, obviously Marshawn Lynch, Alfred Morris. That's a guy that's a rookie this year that is not in a whole lot of products. So that's a guy that you may want to grab.
Well, yeah, you haven't. I mean, I think he's been in one or two products so far.
Definitely not a rookie premier guy. I know he's an absolute. He's in momentum. So he's in. I know he's in Gridiron, but I don't think he's been in any Topps product besides a Blue Wave Redemption.
So he'll be in contenders for sure. They usually have all the rookies in contenders.
Yeah, he'll be in contenders. I think there's a 150 rookie checklist. And this is another sleeper guy here. Luke Kuechly is second in the NFL in tackles for Carolina. So 138 tackles, Luke Kuechly.
Who's one?
Chad Greenway from Minnesota.
Sweet.
And then Jared Mayo's third, and then, you know, the beast Navarro Bowman's fourth. So, interceptions, Tim Jennings from Chicago, Patrick Peterson, Stevie Brown, Casey Hayward. That's a rookie. Casey Hayward from Green Bay. So it's a pretty good rookie class. But Trent Richardson, Doug Martin, hasn't been – it's two rookies that are in the top 10 in rushing. Hasn't happened in a while. So those are two great running backs that are going to be –
Yeah, but no breakout receivers this year out of the draft.
No, not at all.
I mean – I guess you can Blackman came on a little bit later in the year, but Besides that, nobody really, you know.
Yeah, where's Blackman on the list?
Nobody really is standing out.
I don't even. Jeremy Curley actually has 739 yards. He's the only rookie yardage.
Jeremy Curley?
Yeah, from DeJet. Oh, no, he's not a rookie, is he?
He's not a rookie at all. He's been in the league for like 8 years, but.
I'm thinking of Stephen Hill. Cecil Shorts, rookie last year, 925.
I mean, Kendall Wright.
These guys are not even in the top 50 in yardage. None of these guys from this year. So they do say that, I mean, last year was an exception. They do say.
Maybe Josh Gordon.
T.Y. Hilton, 716, number 44. Justin Blackman, number 46, with 707.
All right. So T.Y. Hilton's a guy to get.
And he's not a rookie premier guy either. So he's. No. He is.
Yeah, him and Dwayne Allen, right?
Yeah, it was him, Dwayne Allen. There's four guys. Dwayne Allen, Luck, Fleener, Hilton, Allen. Yeah, already set up. So, yeah, it's been an exciting year in the NFL, and everybody can tell by the sales. I mean, our NFL breaks right now are just filling up like crazy. So, I mean, it's a solid rookie class that's carrying all these products, and there's still a lot more to come. I mean, you got the big boys coming out. You got playoff contenders. You got five-star. You got National Treasures, Supreme. I'm probably forgetting a bunch.
Sweet. I'm gonna have to wrap this up here.
All right, so we're going to hit into break. So check out mojobreak.com. The code for this month for 10% is MOJOXMAS, MOJOXMAS. And that'll save you 10% off. So treat yourself, and we're going to head into the break, and we'll be back with an interview with Boomo. All right, and we're back from the break, and we're here with Boomo. How you doing, Boomo?
I'm just terrific.
And to give you a little background about Boomo, if you haven't heard, which most of you have, Boomo did the big 50 case break of 2012 Bowman draft. He opened it over the course of, what was it, like a week?
We started Wednesday afternoon, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and finished Sunday, early Sunday afternoon.
That's crazy.
It was pretty much exactly as I had planned it, 5 days, roughly. We were slowed down only because the first day we had to wait for the stuff to get here. It didn't get here till like 1 o'clock by UPS. So then we were limited the next day also because we did what we had. We had a few cases left over so we could start in the morning while we waited for UPS. And we finished them before UPS got here. Then Friday they came with 30 cases, and we were able to Saturday and Sunday start at like 5:30 in the morning.
Wow.
And, you know, there were stragglers in the room. I said, well, as long as there's somebody in here watching, I got to start.
Definitely. And I popped in and out of that room, and you guys had probably 100 to 150 viewers at some points, and maybe even more. So it was definitely an entertaining show. Did you find any time to sleep in between, or?
I don't sleep much to begin with, so I would say I was getting my usual 3 hours, and then, you know, especially the two mornings I started at 5 or 5:30, was maybe 3 hours sleep, and just wanted to get it done, you know, and I had people here helping doing the sorting, so the faster I got it done, the faster I could start mailing the stuff, because I didn't want to be people, you know, being held up.
For sure, yeah, and that was going to be my next question, which you just answered. So you had a couple people helping you kind of sort out into teams and lots and things like that.
Well, what killed the break really, of course, are the paper cards. I mean, the paper cards are 70% of the product and 10% of the value.
Right.
And we actually probably paid more to sort them than they're worth. Going forward, we'll make big changes when it comes to how we handle the paper cards.
Yeah.
They will not be done the same way. It's just exhausting how many cards it is to sort. And it landed up putting me a little bit behind because I still have paper lots I have to mail out, but it's just a few. It's not a lot of stuff.
And to give people a little bit more of a background on what you did is you basically broke it down into player lots, correct? And then sold it on eBay?
Player lots and different variations of the player lots. All the ice cards were a lot. All the high-end chromes were a lot. All the low-end chromes were a lot. And all the base cards were a lot. Then we had the autograph guys, and we did a high-end and a low-end on the autograph guys. And then the individual inserts and stuff, we did it the best we could. Like the dual auto guy got the dual autos and all those 2,400 inserts. And he got two dual autos, and he told me he was going to be wallpapering his basement. 2,400 inserts, which I thought was great. He's building a sports bar or something. I said, that's outstanding.
Nice. Going to need a lot of staples or glue or something to wallpaper that with all those cards.
He might just be shellacking them over the top. I don't know. But it was cool. I believe them. He sounds like he's definitely going to do it. But he got enough couple nice cards out of the deal. So, you know, I was happy about that.
For sure. He'll have to take some pictures and put it on your site or on Twitter or something like that so people can see his work from the big 50 case break, you know.
I'm definitely going to want to see it when it's done.
For sure. Now, what got you into collecting? And tell us a little bit about, you know, your background. When did you start? You know, what kind of stuff you collect?
When I was a kid, I collected the stuff in the 70s, and I was a big Yankee fan. And I remember I'd walk to town, and I'd 1976, 77, I'd buy a cello pack, you know, and 10 cents, whatever it was, and I'd open it up walking out of the store. And if there were no Yankee cards in it, I just threw it in the garbage. And I just think back now about how kind of stupid that was. And then I took a long break from probably 80 through 98. I didn't do anything. I don't know. And I think the year that McGuire and Sosa were both hitting 60 homers, the card company started producing some kind of neat cards.
Right.
So I kind of got back into it then, and my friend told me about eBay. Going on eBay, I was looking at, because there were a lot of cards early on eBay. It was half the stuff, I think. I mean, they were just, you know, eBay early on, there was just a lot of cards.
Right.
So I was just looking at all the cards and saying, wow, there's signing cards, there's jersey cards. This was the late 90s, and I just started, you know, ripping a lot of wax and just, you know, I loved the numbered inserts and stuff back then. I wish I'd saved them all, but they're all very valuable now.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us have that kind of same story with our childhoods and stuff. It's just, I think when I moved out when I was a teenager, I think my mom just, you know, course just threw away. So it's just, you know, we wish we still had some of those cards, you know.
boy. I remember 86, 87 Fleer at Ames for $5 a box.
Wow.
On a pallet. They couldn't get rid of it. And I just, you know, would walk by it and go, look at this junky crap. And this was after I, you know, got out of collecting.
Right.
What are you going to do? That's just the way it is. And then as the 2000s went on, I started selling a lot on eBay, which was basically just the stuff I was ripping. And of course, that's not making you any money. That's just digging you a hole.
Right.
I started buying and selling, finding people moving stuff, and I started doing very well at that. Stopped the ripping. And then I got in, I saw the box break thing was getting big, and a friend of mine really wanted to try it out, and he wanted to use me because I'm, you know, I'm not the same old puppet show, is what I like to say. And I said, if I do it, I want to have fun with it. I want it to be like entertainment. He was okay with that. And I'm a bit of a goofball. Everybody knows I'm a goofball. Some people like it. Some people don't. Oh, well, most people like it. And I do well with the breaks.
Well, you can't please everybody. You know, nope. I mean, that's
too many serious Sammies out there. And
yeah, for sure. There's a lot of people that, you know, you and I see it behind a computer. They get, you know, real tough, obviously. So how long have you been doing the box breaks?
I recall it being towards the end of the summer, maybe July or August, and pretty much started on a small scale, but then up to the time we did the 50 case, I was probably doing averaging two a night, six nights a week.
Nice.
Which, you know, on a small scale, sometimes I'd get up in the morning and go, oh, you know, I got a sort of half a case of Bowman Chrome or whatever, take out 25 minutes, and I was just sick of it already, but in the end, it's okay because it's fun, and they make money, so I'm happy.
Yeah, and you get to tell people that you open up baseball cards for a living.
And you know, it's not easy to do that. There's no easy way to explain it. The people that were here sorting for me still didn't quite get what the hell was going on.
Yeah, I've tried to explain the industry to several people, and it's you just give up after a while. It's just, yeah. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to a lot of people on the outside that don't collect it. Why do you open up cards and what are you doing with these cards, you know? But it's a viable industry for sure with the price point of some of these cards that come out of these cases.
Oh, yeah. And people just now, I think the reason it's getting so big is people just want to collect their players. Mm-hmm. They don't want all the other stuff that goes with it. And it's like an instant fix, you know? The comments I get from people is how much they love it and they can't wait to see stuff ripped again. I mean, you know, you don't always win out, of course. Some people win, some people lose, but no one seems to mind. They seem to know what they're getting into. They seem to really like it, and I'm cool with that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's everybody real. I mean, and most people get it, unlike real gambling where, you know, you put 20 on black or whatever, you actually are going to walk away with something here, whether it be a big hit or base cards. You're going to have something tangible. So
you get something out of it.
For sure. You know, and so you're thinking, you know, I heard on some forums that you're thinking about doing the same kind of thing with 2013 Bowman.
Definitely going to do it. The cases have been ordered. So as long as the allocations don't get messed up, it's, and we're going to do half and half, 25 hobby and 25 jumbo.
Nice.
And, but the paper is going to be handled much differently. And of course, most of the paper in the Bowman is just junk nobody wants, right. You know, it's the base guys. And
right.
We used to call them Reds, you know, cause Chrome used to be the Blues were rookies and the Reds were the stuff you wanted to just build a bonfire with.
Right. TP of sorts. Right.
But you know, before we decide to have the bonfire, we'll certainly see if anybody wants to pay something for them.
Right.
You know, but they won't be part of the auction. And if they are, it'll be in a way that doesn't require seven people to sort for 5 days.
Is always, you know, cardstokids.org too, or, you know, stuff that, you know, if somebody doesn't want them, just throw them in a flat rate, send them to those guys. And, you know, which is good for this hobby. Get some kids that can't afford cards into it.
And they won't complain about how the cards arrive.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy as can be.
Exactly. Yep. We just did a charity break for them ourselves and we're about to send a bunch of them out. So just to kind of, you know, and they're very appreciative of that, which is good.
Definitely into that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Cards for Kids. Okay.
Cardstokids.org, I believe, is the site. And they have their mailing address and everything. And it might even be a tax write-off, too, which is, you know, at the end of the year, it helps out everybody. So.
Cool.
So back to Bowman Draft. Are you tired of looking at the cards yet?
Well, I have. There were 220 lots. I have 7 left to mail.
Wow. And,
I pretty much pulled off. You know, I had told everyone I'd have them all out by Saturday or Monday morning. I think I can get. It's 1:48. Post office closes in 4:30. I'm probably not going to get them all out today, but by tomorrow they'll all be gone. And then Wednesday night we're back to breaking some Triple Threads football. And then I'm going to write up some auctions tonight for some stuff for Thursday, Friday, Saturday's always. Saturday's odd. It's always one of our best breaking nights.
Huh. You know,
we must have the crowd that just stays home and wants to have a beer and watch cards get ripped.
Well, you can either spend $30 on a movie or you can sit at your, you know.
Watch Umo! No!
Yeah. Sit and drink a couple beers and get the same effect and probably be more entertained than, you know, whatever crap movie came out that week, you know. So,
we've done well on Saturdays.
Nice, nice. I'll have to definitely join one of your breaks. I don't think I have yet. It's been a couple. I've been in several people's breaks. I don't think I've joined yours, but I'll definitely get into one for sure.
A lot of fun.
For sure. And so what was probably the biggest hit you got out of Bowman Draft out of the 50 cases?
You know, I've mailed so many of them off now, but we one guy got an Addison Russell purple and a couple golds were hit. Hiroshima, Isowaki, whatever. We got the super fract rub. We ended up getting a complete rainbow of him. We got that, the red, the gold, the orange, and a printing plate. Not the same guy won them all, but we got 3 Yu Darvish autos, no nice. Harper autos, which I thought was really pretty
shiny. Really? Pretty That's odd. There. Yeah.
So the Steve Bean kid, I think we hit a purple and a red of him. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah,
we hit a lot of good Aflacs. I mean, the people who bought the Aflac lots did very well.
Got the Buxton, and who else is big in that set? Korea,
Zanino. I think we got them all. One guy got 5 strikers. Another guy got 4 Addison Russells. I mean, those were definitely good lots to pick up.
Nice.
But you know, to be honest with you, though, for 50 cases, I probably would have liked to have seen a few more big cards. But it's just the way it goes, you know.
Did you get shorted hits in 50 cases on any boxes?
You know, if I recall, in the entire 600 boxes, there may have been 2 without an auto. But there was one case that we did that had 16 autos.
Wow.
So I guess in the end, I never counted them, but I'm guessing it was pretty close with the Aflacs to being over the 600 autos. It had to be.
Huh.
I only recall maybe saying we were short in an auto, you know. 2 times through the whole time, which I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, usually, I mean, you've seen tops go up and down. Sometimes you'll get it all the time in products, and sometimes you won't. So that's good. That's a pretty good ratio for human error there.
Absolutely. Because I've done a lot of my rips through eBay, and occasionally I get a box that doesn't have a hit. And always, I hate that more than anything because I'm the guy ripping it. So I'm the guy that's got to explain it. And everybody's always been cool about it, but you know, you have your naysayers that think something's going on, and it just
right. You feel somewhat responsible for the product at that point.
I always do. I feel guilty as hell. I'm like, you know, I'm opening it and I'm shorting these people who expect, you know, a good card. But it's just they know that's the card. It's just the way it happens sometimes.
And it just seems like the card you get back, you know, missing hit wise, it's never going to be a Darvish or a Harper. It's going to be you know the $5 guy, you know, from that set. Which
That's
is, and then you see tops on, you know, and I'm not going to rip a manufacturer here, but you see tops on Twitter with like a free Yu Darvish card. You're like, I wonder if that was supposed to be in my box, you know?
Yeah, where'd that come from?
Right. So did you have friends help you sort out? Did you pay people? Did you give them, you know, pay them beers or something?
I have one friend that he's really good at sorting. And initially we both thought we could do the whole job. Well, about 5 cases in, I come to realize that ain't going to be the case. So I had my sister, her roommate, other friends come by. I had one guy that was in the break room that just said, I'll come up. He drove up from Massachusetts, and he put in about 24 hours of work.
Wow.
He worked for some jumbos. He got a couple of jumbos and some cash out of the deal.
Nice.
And everybody else got paid money. They don't into cards. They certainly didn't want cards. So.
Right, right.
But yeah, in the end, it all worked out. You know, it was profitable, and that's all that matters. It was. Would I do it knowing for the same money again? As long as the papers, we figured out the papers, yeah. The ripping part's not really a big deal. That's just
right.
Time-consuming.
Well, and there's a little bit of trial and error in it as well, learning what's going to be, you know, better next time for sure, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, then it's going to be to get rid of the paper cards.
Yeah.
I'd like to do 50 cases of that Prime Cuts. There you go. Two cards a box, done.
Exactly. Okay. It is a fun break, that's for sure. speaking of the hobby in general, I mean, what do you think's the next big thing for this hobby? I mean, what's going to take over? I mean, we got a lot of local card shops that are kind of fading away. Seems like box breaks are taking over. What do you think's the next big thing?
Well, I don't know if box breaks are a big thing, but we'd like them to become a big thing. And I would like to be able to do this for a long time, full time. And we'll be going out to the National and next summer and promoting it.
Sweet.
Yeah, and as far as a big thing, I mean, I think it's up to the manufacturer to come up with something that is appealing. To me, you know, to continually have high-end products with 99-cent cards in it, I think is the one thing that's really killing the hobby. I mean, I rip this stuff, and when I rip a box and a rookie card's numbered to 1,000 and, you know, 1,300 or whatever, and then the price point shows that it should be more like only a couple hundred of them, that's not good.
Right.
And then the best guys, the Andrew Lux and stuff, they're just some products that are impossible to get. And I think that's going to get old. So they need to find a way, I think, to balance the action just to please people. If not, I don't, you know, that's what worries me the most. People constantly getting, you know, the guys I make fun of all the time that have never seen a down in the NFL yet or taken a bat in the major leagues.
Right.
No, you know, no offense to them, but. You know, I don't need to see any more Drew Hutchison autos in new products. I just,
yeah, for sure.
You know, our guys that were signing 7 years ago are still showing up as rookie card autos, and it's really bad. So,
yeah.
And I know unless someone is related to that person or collects them specifically, people agree with me. They
yeah.
just don't want to see.
I agree with you completely too. I mean, then there's the flip side of that where you have, you know, 35 releases of football a year. So that means there's going to be 35 101s, 35 number to 10 series. I mean, do you think that's going to eventually devalue the industry if they keep pushing? It seems like every year we gain 5 more products. I mean, it's great for breakers, but at the same time, do you think, like, look what
up? It depends on how much of that stuff goes into private collections.
Yeah.
You know, if you go on eBay now looking for the best Tom Brady cards, they're few and far between.
Right.
Now, 12 years from now, if Luck and Griffin each have a couple Super Bowls, are their cards going to be easily had because there were so much products? Or are they still going to be socked away in collections and they're going to be just as hard to get?
Right.
I think that'll affect a lot of things, too, is just going forward. How easy is it to get stuff? I mean, the prices show that people are willing to pay for the best players, and they're not willing to pay for the guys that stink.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying, and you know, just the rookie premier guys, there's what, 35 guys in NFL that are in the products every year. Like last year, I'm sure you got your fair share of Bill Powells and Jordan Todmans, and you know, there's those guys every year. And who knows, you know, maybe those guys turn into something, but it definitely does seem like there's more 101s and more big hits as every year goes by. So, but I don't know if there's anything they can do to limit that, because no one's going to buy a set if Luck and Griffin's not available in the set. So
yeah, they'll always be in it. It's just if it's a high-end product and I rip the pack and I see, you know, it's this, what, week 14, and I see Cyrus Gray and he's on one of the worst teams in football and still has never played a down, it just starts to get a little discouraging.
Right.
And there's a lot of guys like that. Why they I don't know if they're sticker dumps or whatever, but you know, we need to limit, definitely need to limit those guys. Put them in early before the season starts because nobody knows. But if you're making products as the season goes along, and a guy stinks, just leave him out.
Right. I mean,
that might be impossible, though. I mean, I don't know how far ahead of time they make these products. They might make them months in advance. I have no idea.
Well, and that's what we were talking about last year was, I think Bill Powell and Jordan Todman were in 5-star. I mean, and it was just like, and that's one of your hits in, you know, $500 box, 5 hits. That's $100 Jordan Todman, if you do the math. And, you know, it's like, could they have thrown him out? I don't know. I mean, maybe they have to have a certain budget or something, or he signed, you know, 8 months ago for this product, it's hard to say, but you know, you definitely don't want to be the person that buys that $500 five-star box and you get him in there as your hit. And you're like, oh my God, this sucks, you know? And it's a dartboard, you know?
Five-star baseball is the same way. You saw the price of that just plummeted.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants some of these guys from the 80s or 90s that are getting $9.
Yeah, surprisingly, like Cepeda.
Yeah.
Cepeda, I'm a Giants fan, and I was like, Cepeda is like going for like $12 in there, you know?
And there's worse, Terry Pendleton?
Oh. So what? Out of all the products you've ripped over the last, let's just say this year, what do you think, if you had to pick a worse one, what do you think was the worst product that you that came out?
As far as the hits that I've gotten was the Topps Platinum Football. I mean, getting a Luck or a Griffin out of that was virtually impossible. And then what I've noticed, the Triple Threads Football, which we've gotten some really nice cards out of, though, has, you know, has a lot of rookie autographs and a lot of the same guys, the same scrubs.
Very few veteran autos in that, too.
There's, like, I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it won't be the case in half of it, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, at what point, I mean, this is like, what, the 15th product for football, and it's just all pretty much been rookie-based. It's like, let's get some veterans, some Hall of Famers in there and stuff. I mean, you could throw a Ray Rice auto, or like a Ray Rice or a Ray Lewis auto in there for, you know, next to nothing, I'm sure, if you had a guy signed a couple years ago. Just doesn't make sense to me.
No, there must be a reason why there's a lack of veterans. Somebody knows. I don't know.
Well, I think they all think we're all gaga for rookies, so they're just going to load them with rookies. But, you know,
I'll take a Jerry Rice any day over another Cyrus Gray.
So. Right. You don't think Cyrus Gray is going to be the next Jerry Rice? Come on now. So people can check you out, your breaks, on Blog TV. Now, it's probably Blog TV people or Blog TV /people/Boomo, right? That's how they can get you?
Correct.
Perfect. And what nights are you live? Is it sporadic, or do you guys have a schedule?
I always do at least six nights a week at 10 o'clock
p.m. Nice. Eastern time. Okay. So that'd be 7 on the West Coast here.
Correct.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a good time.
Auctions usually end an hour to a half hour before. And I've had such loyal customers, they pay right away, and so we can rip right away.
Awesome. And what do you do for people in the room? You have like an eCreator account kind of thing, or is it all done through eBay? Like, do you do all your breaks are already all pre-sold on eBay before you go live?
Correct. Okay. So far, that's what we've done. We haven't expanded to anything else yet. But over time, I'm sure I'll get people that want to do their own, you know, hey, can you rip me this? Can you rip me that? And that'll be fine.
Yeah.
I always got the product here. So, but people love the eBay. They love the action. They love to win the teams. So not messing with the formula right now.
Now, have you had to try to reword your listings a couple different times because of the way that eBay's thing is?
About 20 times.
And it's BS. I know we've listed breaks on there and stuff.
I don't get their logic one bit. I don't understand it. I don't know why they think it's bad. Nobody can explain it to me. I word it in such a way now, though, that I haven't been bothered in months, so I don't know. I'm sure that's coming, but who knows?
Yeah, I've known that people have gotten their listings, you know, just completely pulled down, and you know, you'll be in the middle of the listing, and you know, one day left, and you got mapped on it.
So many times, though, on the phone, maybe they just added a note.
Yeah, I've heard of people talking to some of those people at eBay, and you got to talk to the right person, I guess, to get through with their compliance department or whatever, you know, people put on their listings now. So,
yeah.
Well, what do you think's been the best product so far this year?
Well, Topps Chrome Football was a blast. And it, you know, I had 10 cases. I was supposed to have a lot more, and then we got shorted due to something to do with the storm, the Hurricane Sandy. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but that had some huge cards in it. Topps Prime Football, even though it looked like another sticker dump product, a lot of Luck and Griffin autos out of Topps Prime Football.
Nice.
And baseball, you know, the draft was fun. Bowman Chrome was okay. Mm-hmm. Triple Threads Baseball was very good.
Yeah.
Got some really nice cars. And five star did well in a couple breaks I did, although I wasn't particularly fond of what came out of it.
Right.
Just Willie McGee, you know, just autos that just don't seem to fit the price point. And I guess that's my biggest beef now going forward with this, the whole industry, is the price point based on what's in the product.
Yeah, have you done any Leaf products at all?
I've done no Leaf products whatsoever. And no, Brian, and I, you know, it might be something to discuss with him in the future, but I have, my worry is that they just don't get enough love, and people may be thrown off by, you know, not seeing tops or upper deck or whatever in my listings. Oh,
sure.
Just haven't tried it yet, but I'm sure at some point I will.
Yeah, I mean, he does seem to have probably one of the better values. I mean, the Leaf Best Of series is definitely a tough break because there's only six hits and the price point's real tough to, you know, get people to do a break on. But it does seem like he probably has one of the biggest return on investments out of all the manufacturers. But he does lack the license, so that's, you know, the downside why people aren't jumping on his products right now.
Yeah, that's been part of, and we, you know, how do we do things on eBay where we can't really justify the team that the player? I mean, you can and you can't, but like the greats of the Fleer greats basketball or any of those products are all college uniforms, and I just don't know how I could do that.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely tough to list it that way, and you know, even its prospect products, they're guys that have been drafted, but the card doesn't say what team he's on, so you're constantly on Google or something trying to figure out, you know, what team this guy's been drafted on or whatnot, because he released. You know, he had like Albert Almora, you know, months ago before Bowman Draft even came out. So obviously that guy's on the Cubs, but there's a lot of guys in that series that, you know, who knows what team they're on.
That is a problem. You know, that just confuses people, and confused people don't spend money.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless they're drunk.
Yeah. You get people late at night in a room and then had a couple shots in them. I'm sure they'll get anything.
My best customers.
Yep, exactly. So, are you partial to any manufacturer? You bust it. I mean, it seems like we've talked a lot about tops. Now, do you get into Panini stuff?
I've ripped a few basketball. Have done a few basketball cases because they have the license and all. But and they did okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know going forward. I mean, I got some Prism in, so I'm going to definitely be writing up some auctions for Prism.
Nice.
I've heard that there's some nice cards in there people are chasing after. So hopefully by the time, I'm going to probably do that, probably Friday night I'd like to do. So I might do that, run those auctions tonight.
Nice.
and then Saturday I'm going to do a bunch of stuff because I got the product here. I just want to just start getting in the game again and ripping wax.
For sure. Now, I'm sure you've noticed there's probably been a lot more people on eBay just doing breaks and a lot more websites popping up and stuff like that. Crazy. You know, I made a joke last time we did a podcast that, you know, my grandmother's starting to do group breaks now, called Granny's Great Group Breaks. Check out her site. But what do you think of the competition? Do you think the competition's making this industry grow larger? Is there some people that are, there's obviously your scams out there. I mean, what do you think about everybody trying to do box breaks now?
I think in the end, it's kind of like a pyramid scheme. I think it's got to fall apart for the people who can't keep getting the product. I mean, I don't know how people are doing what they're doing product-wise. I mean, I've been pretty lucky with being able to get good quantities of stuff.
Sure.
My friend's tried doing breaks, and he's a good guy, and he just buys three boxes here, three boxes there, and he's not really making any money doing it, but he just likes to do it for fun.
Sure.
I don't know what's going to happen. People aren't going to keep doing it if they're not making money.
Yeah.
And people may stop doing it if they're not making money on their return. Who knows what's going to happen. So far, I've seen no let up at all. And mine, I see from day one, I see the same nice return. People coming all the time, same return customers. So I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a relatively easy industry to get started on. You buy a $500 box, you already have a computer, a webcam, and know how to list on eBay. It seems like a pretty easy business to start up. But where people do fall apart is, you know, being able to deliver, being able to constantly have products like yourself. You're doing it every week, so people kind of get in a routine. So you got to be able to start it, and I'm sure make an investment and keep that investment going and get more product.
The other thing that's going to hurt people is, like, I've always got, for instance, if I get Triple Threads football, I've got a sealed 18-box master. So I know if I rip one half and the booklet hasn't come out, everybody knows that booklet's in the other half.
Right.
That's only going to help prices. Now, the guy that just keeps ripping three boxes, who's buying them from a store maybe, or I don't know, and he's gone through 15 boxes without getting triple auto or something, people are going to start wondering, you know, where are the hits? They don't wonder with me because they know the next sealed case I open, it's just a matter of time before we find that booklet or that triple or whatever is due, because it was a master case to begin with.
Sure.
I don't get half cases of product. I only get master cases. So that's the guarantee that people know they're going to get this, this, and this. If it says that if we're going to get a white whale in baseball at some point, if it's not the first half, it's going to be in the second half.
It's going to be in the second half. Yeah, and that's the way to ensure that's complete transparency there, because there's, you know, you've heard stories about guys weighing boxes, or, you know, they got the one hit, now they're selling the other three boxes, and there's just really no way to know out there unless you do it the way that you said, do the full case, you know.
And that is very easy to do. I mean, people could, you know, you could do that. You could keep the booklet for yourself. That's great. And then you have an odd number of boxes, and your customers never see a big hit like that. And then what happens? They're not going to keep coming back.
Exactly. You know,
I don't open any of my own stuff. And if I do, I would buy like a sealed case for myself and put it aside.
Right.
I wouldn't rip one half of a case and then leave the other half. So I got to make sure that the cases stay whole, intact, so that what's missing from what I've broken so far is going to be due in the next break, and that only helps the auctions. Now, if we hit the big hit right away, it's the reverse. I say, yeah. People email me, hey, is that the same case that this came out of? Is that? And I got to say, yeah, it is. You know, I got to get rid of the stuff. And you know, people understand. I still do okay. Auctions still do okay, but not like when they know something's coming.
And that's, you never know. You could get another booklet out of the other case. It's happened before, you know.
It happens.
What would you say would be your biggest pet peeve about people in this industry?
The negative people.
Yeah.
The people that just want to slam and slam and slam for no – you just couldn't believe the stuff I put up with on this thing. How many people are going to do chargebacks and – you know, how many people are going to leave negatives? And with seven things left to ship, I have not had one complaint or one chargeback whatsoever, except from one person complained.
It was probably the littlest sale out of all of them, too, probably.
No, it was a decent sale, but the problem was they were one of those people that would have rather complained on a public forum than just contact me and let me make it right.
Right.
So, whatever. That's up to you, because, I mean, I didn't get 35,000 feedback screwing people over. I got 35,000 feedback taking care of my customers. And if I make a mistake, I make it right. But not if you're going to slam me for it. And I'm not making nothing right.
Exactly. No, and that's the way that it should be. I don't know why people don't, you know, are you give you a chance to make it right. I mean, if you bought something from Target and it was broken, are you just going to go on a forum and trash Target? No, you're going to take it back to Target and get your money back.
Some people do. I don't know why people do that. I've yet to figure it out. It's a personality thing with some people. They just like to stir the pot. Basically, yeah. That's it.
And I'm sure you've dealt with it in your room of the term people throw around is trolls. They come in your room. They come in your room and they say something bad about you, and it's just some fake account. They just want to get a reaction out of you. I've had some
beauties. Every card I've pulled has been a conspiracy. It's not really going to the person who won it. I mean, it's on. And I just think this is on a Saturday night. I'm like, okay, I see that. I guess you got nothing else to do. It's cool.
Yeah.
You know, as long as people don't come in and say dirty stuff because there could be kids, I really don't care what they say. Please don't swear. Please don't say, you know, filthy things. And I don't really care. You control. You can do whatever you want.
For sure. Yeah. And that pretty much sums it all up. I'd like to thank Boomo for coming on the show, and check out his breaks. He's, like you said, he's there 6 days a week. Check him out on eBay. We'll put a little comment on the podcast below to where to find him.
Boomo2
on eBay. Check out the live breaks, blogtv.com/people/ Boomo, and that's B-O-O-M-O, correct?
That's it. Couldn't be any easier.
Yep.
Thank you very much, Doug. I appreciate that.
No problem. Thanks again, Boomo.
Another special thanks to Boomo for hanging out and talking about cards. And before I end this podcast, I did want to mention with Dan about Topps allocation, and I wanted to have a discussion with him, but we ran out of time. And, you know, on the topic of Bowman draft, it was just kind of crazy on just Topps creating the market as far as the allocation. They did a really good job with Bowman draft this year on getting the buzz up. It's something that really doesn't – the product doesn't hit until March when these guys are – going into spring training, some of them have gotten called up to the squad. Some of the, you know, first round picks that aren't out of high school go and they play spring training. And so what they did is they realized that hey, this product normally sits until March. So what we're going to do is we're going to A, create jumbo, because people love Bowman jumbo regular. So we're going to do it with draft, make three autos, and we're going to just make it like a 10-to-1 allocation so that people are scrambling. So what they did in that regard is they made dealers more money. They made people that sell boxes a little bit more money, local card stores. And, I mean, it was a great product. They had the Prospect Challenge they introduced, which, you know, people are going to be playing that game and going onto their website and just staying involved in the industry. So I do want to give props to Topps on that as far as just generating a buzz. And they've been doing it with a lot of products lately. They did it with Bowman Signatures football. You know, and the product was dumpy, came out kind of, you know, right at the beginning of the season, was pushed out fast, but boxes jumped up to like $200 a box. So they kind of create their own market by limiting people to buy their own products. So I don't know if that's a strategy that's going to stay. You know, it's also supply and demand has something to figure in. Maybe it's not a strategy on their part. Maybe it's just we're all gaga for cards, but it's good for everybody because it even trickles down into the people that are selling the single card. So you get your first Albert Almora that sold for $80, not numbered. You know, some of the super fractors just going for ridiculous amounts of guys that have not yet taken the field. So we'll see. I know Panini doesn't do it, and their products don't get quite as buzzed as much as Topps. I mean, National Treasures football is probably the exception, but we'd like to see it with Panini because I think Panini's in the right direction with a lot of their products. All the football products have been hits this year, so I'd like to see an even playing field on that with the allocation and buzz about products and stuff like that. So I just wanted to put my 2 cents in before the end of the podcast. Thank you again for downloading. And remember, Mojo Xmas at checkout on mojobreak.com will save you 10%. We got a lot of stuff. If you get this today, which is Tuesday the 18th of December, we got a full schedule of breaks tomorrow, 12-19. We're doing 7 different ones. We got a limited NBA. We got classics hockey. We're doing the brand new Bowman Sterling baseball. We're doing the brand new Panini Black football. So it's going to be a full day of breaks. We got stuff going down on Friday. We're doing more Triple Threads football. Strata football is going down on Friday. We also have an extra case of Strata. We just listed Panini Playoff Contenders football, Topps Magic football by the case. We're doing single box breaks for $5. There's something for everybody. So if you collect cards, just be sure to check it out, mojobreak.com. And once again, that savings is Mojo Xmas, all lowercase, Xmas, X-M-A-S. I hope everybody has a great Christmas. And, you know, keep ripping those packs, keep collecting those cards, and stay tuned. Peace.
MojoBreak.com